Okay, so we're ready to go. Really, Sif Gimel. We're moving a little bit slowly through the halachos of Klaf here. Tonight's also going to be a one Sif Shir, maybe actually a two Sif Shir. And I think things should start picking up a little bit faster after that. So there is, in the source sheet, I actually included, maybe we should just take a look first at the page, I think, 6 and 7, if I can open it. Is that what we're up to here? Six pages, and then page 4 and 5. There's the diagrams on there, right? Yeah, it says one page. So page 5. Yeah, so page 5 is actually 2 pages. So that comes from the book Inside Stam, and you should and you'll notice. I guess first take a look at the first diagram on the left. We're going to speak tonight about what is klaf. If you read the Rabbi Hoffman article, or either way, he responded to my email last week. Saying that it is available, what we spoke about last week, the idea of klaf that actually uses the old style of ibud as opposed to the modern style of ibud, he said it is available, and you could send me an email address if anybody's interested in the official ibud. I forgot what he called it, but the official ibud with gallnuts rather than with lime. So it is available. What? I'm off screen. Oh, okay.
Thank you. Hammer drift.
Okay. Sorry. Computer is sitting on top of my razor, you know. So that we spoke about last week is actually available on the market. I'm going to speak about tonight another chumrah, which is out there. Also, I wasn't able to do the research to figure out exactly how marketable, how much on the market it is, but certainly it is available. So there is a question, if you're looking at that page, what exactly is, right, we ask you, what do we write mezuzahs and tefillin and sifrei Torah on? So the quick answer is, well, you write it on klaf. So the problem is that it's unclear what is klaf, and the Gemara seems to describe 3 different things that you should write them on. In fact, the Gemara says that Sifrei Torah should be written on one thing. We'll see in the Beis Yosef. But Sifrei Torah should be written on one thing, and mezuzahs should be written on something else, and tefillin should be written on a third thing. And they're all. And the Gemara seems to be laying it out as 3 different parts of the skin of an animal. So how do we get to that? So the skin is then divided into, there's the epidermis and the dermis. So the epidermis is like hairy and rather thin and tough. And then there is the what he calls the dermis on the inside. So the assumption is that the Sifrei Torah, we'll see, the Sifrei Torah is written on what's called gvil, which it sounds like at least was understood in the Gemara as being the entire skin. Then there is this ability, and he talks about it here, Rabbi Mendelitz talks about it here in this process, the ability to pull the klaf apart from each other, that the dermis gets pulled apart. And then when you pull the dermis apart, there's 2 sides then to write on. There is the side of the skin, and there is, well, 3 sides actually, the side of the skin, the inside of the part that you're pulling off, right? And then there is the inside of the part that you're pulling off, the side facing the flesh and the side facing the skin. So there's 3 possibilities, assuming you're not going to be writing on the hair itself. Now, Rabbi Hoffman suggests a 4th possibility. If anybody actually read that article, you know what I'm talking about. We'll cover that towards the end. Okay, so that is the diagram to keep in mind as we go through the sugya here. Okay, so right. No, so he's calling the right. I see that. It looks like he's calling the dermis the hide. I'm not sure what he's.
I think he's calling maybe the whole thing the hide.
Yeah. I think he's probably calling. Yeah, you're right. He's probably calling the whole thing the hide. Why he calls that part the dermis? Especially right next to it, he says the thick layer beneath the dermis that is full of veins, arteries, and other fatty substances. So, yeah, I'm not sure why it's labeled that way. But for our purposes, it's important to know that there is an outer layer, which is called the litza here, which apparently is a more modern word. The Gemara never calls it that. And then there's the dermis, and at least the assumption that we have for most of this is that the inside of it gets pulled apart, right? As seems to be indicated in figure 46 and 47. Okay? All right, so now let's take a look at the tour here, back to page number one. So he writes, v'nichteves, now keep in mind, we're learning Hilchos Sefer Torah here. So even though, obviously, Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, and Tefillin are very much intertwined, right? So the focus here is just what is kosher for a Sefer Torah. So the Torah writes, v'nichteves bein al gvil v'klaf v'duchsustus. You could write whether on the gvil, the klaf, or the duchsustus. What is the duchsustus? So that is at least for our assumption, and you can see in this in his diagrams that we were pointing to before, the chsusa is the inner level. What exactly is the inner, like the side? I think there's a Greek word which they quoted, the place of the flesh. So it's the inner part, whatever flesh you pull, whatever part of the hide you pull off, that's closest to the flesh. Although that might be a little bit of a machlokes rishonim, as we'll see as well. So you could write on any one of them. Rambam pasal al duchsustus. The Rambam, however, says you can't write on the duchsustus. V'adunia v'arash zal lo kasufkin. Didn't write like that. Didn't say that. It says like you could be yotze with all of them. So perish gvil. So what is the gvil? So or shenigrar v'niskein b'makom haseyar. So the gvil is the skin that was pulled apart and was fixed in the place of the hair. That's what that means is a little unclear, but it sounds like it's the outer part. Uv'makom habasar lo niskan, and it's not from the place where it touches the flesh. The klaf v'duchsustus hu or hanechlak l'shnayim. And the klaf is the what we called the dermis before, that's pulled into two. Chelek hachitzon shel tzad hasar nikra klaf, the kosvin. So the side that's more towards the hair, is what it sounds like here, is going to be called the klaf, the kosvin, and we can write on that. Bitzad hapnimi, on the inner side, shekalpe habasar, that's facing the flesh. The chelek hapnimi shel tzad habasar nikri duchsustus. And then the inside part, meaning the part that is closer to the flesh, that's when you pull it apart, right? That it was touching the flesh. That's called the duchsustus. V'kosven bo b'tzad hachitzon shekalpe hasar. And that you would write on the outer part facing the hair. Okay? So you're going to end up right? So back to our diagram here, right? So we have the, there you go. So you have this and then this. So what the Torah is quoting from his father is that you would, if it's klaf, you would write it here, and if it's, that if it's klaf, you'd write it here, and if it's duchsustus, you'd write it here on the inside. Okay, so that's his pshat here. Pull that microphone out of. I'm not sure. But he said, it says if you write on the wrong side, I mean you write on the klaf towards the outside, or the chsusus towards the inside, towards the flesh, b'dieved, it's still going to be yotze. He says, "V'klafim shalanu yesh din klaf v'nichtevim b'tzad hapnimi shekalpi abasar." He says, "And what we use as klaf is has a din of klaf, and therefore it's writ. We write on the inside part that's facing the basar." Now, what he means by our klaf, I'm not sure. And Rabbi Hoffman has a suggestion as to what that means. Okay, so where is this all coming from? So it comes from a Gemara Masechta Shabbos of all places. As we pointed out, many of these sugyas are spread throughout all of Shas. Why in the world is it in Masechta? It's in an odd place in Masechta Shabbos. It's actually in the Perek dealing with carrying. Why? Because the Mishnah gives a lists small things. And what is the minimum? Where's my Gemara here. What is the minimum amount, what is the minimum size you need in order to violate carrying on Shabbos? So one of the things that is mentioned in the Mishnah's earlier on Daf, Ayin Ches Amud Beis. So one of the things that lists there is or, that if you carry or, k'dei lasos kemia, enough, a hide would be enough to make an amulet, which is a pretty small amount. Klaf, however, k'dei lichtov alav parsha ketana shebetfilin, is to write the smallest parsha of tefillin. What does it mean, the smallest parsha of tefillin? So which is the smallest parsha of tefillin? So Shema. So Shema, the size of a Shema Parsha is actually pretty small, when you certainly compare it to the other Parshios that we have in Tefillin, relatively. And that would be the minimum amount that one would need to be carrying in order to violate carrying a piece of cloth on Shabbos. Why? Because anything less than that is not considered useful, right? So even though they have usages, uses, even though a smaller piece will have use because it could be used for other, sort of as spare parts for mezuzahs and tefillin, because sometimes it's needed. Still, still that's considered the minimum amount. So based off of that, the Gemara then gives has a discussion as to what could be used for what, And there's a couple of comments there. So let's see what the Beis Yosef brings down, what we'll need to add in. So the Beis Yosef says, Perakamotzi, Tana Devei Menashe, Kasu ala klaf v'al hagvil v'al duchsustus keshera, v'okmu b'sefer Torah. That the, it quotes there in the Tana Devei Menashe, not sure what the story is with the Bei Menashe, but you could write on any one of them, and you're going to be Yotze. Now, the Gemara, and there, he's, and the Gemara figures out that it must be talking about a Sefer Torah. Because with mezuzahs and tefillin, we're more makbid about the spot. Now, the truth is, Zman Hazeh, they're all written on the same thing. We'll get to that in a minute. But there's this brisa there that he quotes, that Tana Devei Menashe, Kasval Hanayir Val Matlis Psula, if you write on paper or cloth, it's pasul. But if you write on cloth, gevil, or duchsustos, on any one of those, it's going to be kasher. So where needs to know, what are we talking, what does it mean when it talks about writing? So if you, and this is not in the Beis Yosef, but he says, if you say, Ilema, mezuzah, right, mezuzah, klaf, mikasvina, could you write a mezuzah on klaf? Elav, tefillin, right, rather, mezuzah is written on duchsusus, the Gemara tells us. So rather, it's talking about tefillin. So li tamech, tefillin on gvil, mikasvina. He says, who says you could write tefillin on gvil, right? Gvil is the entire hide. So rather, it must be talking about a Sefer Torah. That's what the Gemara assumes. Right, so Gemara seems to be imposing strictures on mezuzahs and tefillin, but Sefer Torah could be written on any one of them. He says, however, the Rambam, that's the next source here in the Beis Yosef, b'shem ha-Rambam, parakav me'ilchus tefillin, kasav, alecha moshe mi-sinai, shu kosun Sefer Torah al-gvil, afal pishakachi alecha moshe mi-sinai, im kasav Sefer Torah al-klaf kasher, v'lo nemar gvil el-lamay tuchsustos shim kasav alav, Ha-Sefer Pasul. So the Rambam writes that Sefer Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai should be written on Gvil. Now how you can figure out and say, oh, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai should be X, but B'di-Eved you could be Yotze with Y, I'm not sure how the Rambam came to that conclusion, other than maybe this price that we said. But if Rambam is passing like this price that we just said, it's odd that he would say Klaf is okay and Duchsustos is not okay. So the Rambam is the shita that holds the chsustus, which is, again, the inner hide, the one closest to the flesh, is a problem. But the Rosh disagrees. That's what the Torah was. That's what the Torah quoted. The Torah, in the name of his father, says that he thinks that any one of them is okay, based on this brisa. So then we continue on in the Beis Yosef here. He says, V'aran kasav perakamotzi yayin, which is in Menachos, right? Mitzvah min ha-mufcha... Amotzi Yayin is our parak. That's the parak in Masechta Shabbos, right? Mitzvah min amufchar bigvil, right? That the ideal is to write it on gvil, which is the entire hide. Now, if you do that, a Sefer Torah is going to be extremely thick. But the truth is, that might be the way it actually was. It would be extreme. Shekachaya darkan, because that's the way. Kedamrin begitin gvilin shebo lo ivadatim lishmam. That the Gemara in Masechta Gittin, and this we quoted last week, because or 2 weeks ago, when we talked about Ibud Lishma, so the Gemara there says that a sofer showed up and said, hey, by the way, the Sefer Torah I wrote wasn't Lishma. So we use that as a proof to say, right, that it's requires that it requires some amount of lishma. So, but what exactly the Beis Yosef points out, or really the Ran points out, that what did he say? He said the gvil wasn't lishma. So what does the gvil mean? You see, aha, Sefer Torah should be written on gvil, which is extremely thick. V'hachi mashper kama debasra. Gabi Sefer Torah she'asa Moshe. That's what we find in the first parak of Baba Basra, that the Sefer Torah by Moshe was written with gvil. V'afal gav damrinam behi pirka shalus Rebbe Sefer Torah bekama amrli begvil vav tvach and beklaf eni yodeya, that they're also on that daf in Maseches Baba Basra. They asked the Rebbe, by the way, a Sefer Torah, how large, how big does it have to be? He said, oh, if it's made of gvil, it should be 6 tfachim, and a klaf, I don't really know. So it sounds like it could be made of klaf also. But he says, lav lemeimer shehei rishai lasos b'klaf l'chadchila el b'shas adchaka amar. So it doesn't mean that usually l'chadchila should make it out of klaf. It just means that b'di'evit, if you made it out of klaf, so then it could be that thickness. Now, the Gemara there, just so we know the context, what the Gemara there it brings this up in the context of the Aron. I remember when I was in Mevaseret, they were discussing what Masechta to learn the next year. I remember they're like, the Rebbe were having this discussion, and somebody brought up Masechta's Baba Basra. So I said, I remember walking by, I said, oh, I learned Baba Basra when I was a freshman in high school. Because in MTA, at least when I was there, you learned the same thing. The whole college, everybody, from smicha guys to high school guys, all learned the same Masechta. So I remember Rabbi Berzon saying to me, it's like, yeah, and what do you remember from Baba Basra? I said, I don't know, there was some sugya about stucca and some sugya about Tanakh. He's like, yeah, right. That's because you probably didn't understand anything else that was going on. So the sugya of tzedakah we covered a couple of months ago, and the sugya of Tanakh is the one right here. The Gemara has a discussion about how the Aron got filled up, and the Aron was 6 tfachim wide, right? Amma rachbo v'yama v'chitzi komaso, right? So it was an amma wide. So it was an amma. The Sefer Torah was an amma, and that's how they figured out that the Sefer Torah was 6 tfachim. So that's what this is coming from. But it could also be that around, because the gvil is using the entire hide, it makes it very thick. So it could be, the fresh you get from the gourd, that might have even been like, you know, round, 6 tfachim. A very large thing. So that, it sounds like that should be done l'chachilah. So what happened with us b'zman hazeh? Right? But v'chein kasav v'rbeinu chananel, right? The kevin delo eshchan mi asakach, in matirin lechachila sos beklaf umitzvin amuvchar enu el begvila. We don't see people using klaf, so the ideal should be with the gvil. Mikol makum b'di'evid kasher afal klaf yal dechsos b'di'evid, that would be okay. El sharam kasher al dechsos pasul v'lo nihiru. But I don't understand why. V'das smak near shu gedas haran. The smag seems to be holding like the ran. And then he tries to explain the Rambam here. He suggests that the Rambam perhaps went back and forth in terms of understanding a psak in the Gemara without having the give and take of the Gemara is somewhat complicated. Without getting that give and take, maybe we'll leave the svara of the logic of the Rambam out. Now, just one more piece. If you second. Oh, I'm sorry. So if you saw right after where we said for the Rabbeinu Chananel, where he said that mitzvah minamufchar is only with gvil, so there is a little note, the beis with the parentheses, sends you down to the Darkei Moshe, sends you down to the opinion of the Ramah. And now the Ramah says, he says, ve'in nafkusa bazed the klafim, and the truth is, this whole discussion isn't so relevant, because with our klafim, maspikim l'kol, it's all okay. V'chein kasav ri mintz b'tshuv asav. He says, the anu noagim lichtuv al haklaf, velo al gvil. That our minug is to write on klaf and not on gvil. This is like wild, right? The Gemara says, l'chadchili, you should use gvil. And the Rama says, yeah. All right, we don't, right? Why not? He says, why? Mishum zekhili v'yanvehu. Because of the idea of hider mitzvah, making the mitzvah beautiful, right? Ki al klaf hu yoser na. Because klaf is nicer. Because with the gvil, the only way you could really prepare it is to remove the hair. Because it was very rough. Therefore, the minhag was to write with klaf. What? Yes. I'm sorry. What did I write here? Oh, sorry. I said kaved the yours may be too heavy. I said, I remember what I said. Lakach, therefore the minigus to write a chas. So the Darkei Moshe Rav Maaseh says, yeah, you say to write with kvil. Yeah, but we think it's nicer to write on cloth. And besides that, it's a lot easier to schlep around. Right? It's a lot easier to carry. So we write on cloth rather than kvil. Right? How'd that happen? Right? So it's somewhat hard to understand how that happened, but that's what it is. Meaning our Sifrei Torah, now perhaps we'll maybe have a little bit of a theory develop, but right, we don't use gvil for our Sifrei Torah, rather we use klaf, the inner part of the hut. Now there might be a chumra to talk about, we'll get to that. Okay, so let's, there's one more piece while we're here, and that is understanding exactly what is what in terms of the parts of the skin, right? What is being labeled as what in the Gemara is a little complicated. So if you take a look at the first very, very wide line of the Beis Yosef, he says the klaf v'duch sostos, so king kasu atosvos b'perakamotzi yayin. That the Beis Yosef points out, this is following the sheet of Tosvos and the Mordechai and the Ran b'shem Aruch and the Rush in Hilchos Sefer Torah. V'chein kasu sefer atshuma v'smagva goes by Monius. Right? If anybody sees a pattern with those are all the Ashkenazi Rishonim. Right? Understanding what is klaf and what is duchsustos, so that is their shita. It says, v'chein kasav ramper k'av mehilchos tilin. And that's also shita of the Rambam. However, not the loki the kasav haran, b'shem haramban, v'arashba. Right? But the Ramban and the Rashba disagree. Shekolok hadibuk lebasar, nikra klaf, v'chilek shel tzad hasar, nikra duchsustos. He flips it around. He says the side that is the close to the basar, that is actually the klaf. And what's the duchsustos? That's actually the side of the hide that's closer to the hair, that's closer to the outside. The chasush, and he said that that's even the Rambam's shita. He says, and there are different nuskos in the tshuvos of the Rambam, but in the Rambam itself, it's like I wrote. But we see, and he says it could be that the Rambam wrote one thing in the Tshuvos and ultimately backed down and wrote something else in the Yad Chazaka. So the Rambam in the Yad Chazaka seems to be fasting like the Ashkenazi Rishonim, but there is this Shita, the Ramban and the Rashba, who was a Talmud of the Ramban, right? So that's a whole school of thought that flips everything around with regards to which is the Duchsustos and which is the and which is the cloth. Okay? So that's enough in the Beis Yosef for now. So let's take a look at the Rama over here. So the Rama, where we're probably in page 3 or so of that source sheet. So the Rama in Gimel, in the middle of that page, says, Kosvin Sefer Torah, Al Hagvil, Vuhuha or Shalom Nichlak that you should write the Sefer Torah on Gvil, which is the skin that wasn't broken apart. Vachosmo Vimakum Ser, you should write where the hair is. Vim Kasu Sefer Torah Allah Klaf Kusher. Vushia Kasu Bisad Hapnimi Shakapia Basar. And if you write where the klaf is, it's fine. So long as you write it on the inside that's facing the basar, that's facing the flesh. Right, so the Shulchan Aruch is aligning himself with the Rambam and with Tosfos and the Ashkenazi Rishonim. Says the Rama, says v'klafim shalanu heim yoser mufcharim. Says our klafs are better. Again, how he does that is pretty wise. Says our klafs are better. Right? How do we judge better? It's always this question when it comes to Sifrei, when it comes to Stam. How do you judge what's better? Is it what you think is better? Whoever's buying it gets to say, I like this, this is nicer than that one. Or is everything supposed to be judged by halachic terms, right? So that's a question out there in the realm of Stam and, the buyers and sellers and what you go for. But anyways, Yosef Mufchar, Migvil, it's better than Gvil. The Kosvin Alehem Lechachila Litzad Basar. You can write Lechachila on the Basar side. The Ein Kosvin Achshav Al Gvil. We don't write today on the Gvil. Says sar, but if you write our klafs on the hair side, that's going to be puzzle. Mihu yesh makil bazeh, but there are those that are makil, even when it comes to that. So, right, the Taz here in Dalet explains, sort of gives the introduction, which we gave before. The Shach here in Zion talks about what this is. How does he define the klaf? So klaf, the Shach Zion is a klaf. Huor hanechlak l'shnayim. That is, the klaf is the skin that was split into two. V'chilek hachitzon shel tzad haseyar nikra klaf. The outer side on the hairy side, meaning the outer part, is called the klaf. V'kosum etzad apnim, and you're right on the inside, and that's which is by the basar. And our klafim, Rashi says, shama shemigardim klipaso ha'elyona. So if the Shulchan Aruch himself is talking about writing on the inside of the klaf, so what distinguishes the Ramaz klaf from the Beis Yosef's klaf? Right, you're writing in the same spot. So the Shach here lets you in now. He says, because on our klafs, the Ramaz klaf, it's only klaf. He removes the epidermis. He removes the outer shell, which is a little hairy and which is known in that diagram as the litza. Right? He removes that. So the Ramaz says that you can remove that. Right? Even if you divide the cloth into two, you'd have to take out that outer part. Right? But now they also sand off, they pull off the inner side until they get to the cloth. I think nowadays, he talks about this in the book here, we've been talking the whole time about pulling it apart. We don't pull it apart. We don't pull what we refer to as the dechusus off. I believe it's just sanded off. It's just kind of, which is also in these diagrams here, right? The diagram here towards the bottom, right, is sanding off the bottom part, right? Using some kind of tool to get that off and thinning it down. And he says it's better. Why is it better? So the Rishach says, ki klafu nab, because it's nicer. Ki agvil lo husar mimenu, because the gvil doesn't remove from it, doesn't, I guess, make it dirty. Ki mahaseya, right? The only thing you can remove from the gvil is the hair. Uvitzad hasheni lo husar klum, and it's like you remove anything. Gam al gvil haisa kveda, and the gvil is also heavier. Yosem yidai lakacha minag litlov sevetora al haklaf. Therefore, our minag is to write it on the klaf. Okay, so that is the Shach. So that's what most klaf is, right? If you take a look at a mezuzah, so the mezuzah is going to have most 98% of mezuzahs that are sold are simply made out of klaf, which is that inner side. It's sanded off on both sides. The epidermis is sanded off on one side. The duchsustus is so sanded off on the other side, and what you're left in the middle is the is the klaf. So Rabbi Hoffman in his article suggests that he suggests that this whole time we've been referring to this split that takes place, that you take the epidermis and they would the dermis or the hide, and you would split it, right, as the diagram saw. You would split it so that you have these two sides. So he suggests that he doesn't think that that's what they did during the time of the Gemara. He suggests that during the time of the Gemara, all they did, what they wrote actually on the, what's called, litza, the epidermis itself. When it says they wrote the Sefer Torah on the gvil, says that's what they mean. So they pulled that part off and wrote directly onto that. He thought that that should be the that's really wrote directly onto that on the inside. Now here he says that to actually say that to actually hold that lemaisa, he thinks that it is not such a great idea. He says he's not willing to go there, but that does bring up a important chumrah, which is what that whole article, these two pages, is actually about, right? He says the question, if you're on page number, where are we here? Page number five, was it five? Right, page five. So you take a look at page five. So the question is, what does it mean when someone recommends that the klaf be lo magurad? So now we can understand lo magurad means, based on the Chai Adam suggests, that lo magurad means that they didn't scrape off the outer part, that the epidermis, which is talked about in figure 50 over there. So he So lo magura means that they're not going to scrape that part off in order to leave the gvil intact. So what you're doing then is you're keeping the you're keeping the outer hide there, so that even though you might be riding on the inside of that, you might be riding on the cloth that's inside of the hide, you're still keeping the hide intact. And that perhaps would be Yotze, the idea of riding on Gvil. So that is one of these chumras that are out there to ask like we talked about last week, to talk about the klaf made that's ridden Bali Tanai, and we talked about that it has to be Avodas Yad as opposed to by machine. So another chumra that you might add, and the Zis klaf we talked about last week, so another chumra with the klaf would be Lo Magurad. Nobody's ever asked me for klaf lo magurad. I meant to ask some of my suppliers if they ever deal with a request for klaf lo magurad, but I have not. I have yet to see it. Now the Mishnah Brura. Did I put the Mishnah Brura on the source here? Yeah. So the Mishnah Brura does quote this in the Beyer Halacha. Right in the middle of the page where it says Latakno ul hachlika, right? The same, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch on the top of the page in the Mishnah Brura, right? So it's a similar discussion appears in Or Chaim, right? Halacha Moshe Misinai, tefillin al klaf below al duchsustus. That tefillin has to be written on klaf, not duchsustus, and not on the gvil either. So kosman al klaf makum kasher, v'im shina pasul, miyu a klaf umal duchsustus, and he suggests that, that it is. But towards the end of this, the Shem Shavgarim Klipasa Al Yonish and Malcolm Seir, Eno Ela Kede Mash Shitzarech, Latakno Ulachliko, Vafilium Ayucholkima Or Lishnaim, Hayatzarech Lagari Menukach, Mitzat Habasar, Gorim Harbe, Achein Nishar Ela Haklaf Bilvad. So he suggests that the klaf is really the outer part of this, and therefore the entire outer level should be left intact. So that machlokas is quoted here in the Beir Olach. He doesn't really get into it. He just quotes the machlokas. He says, "Vim garad yosher mizeh ayin b'tshuvas nishmas adam daito delo mikre su klaf." It's no longer called klaf anymore if you sand all the way through the epidermis. Uvechsam Sofer says, "No, mashpul shemekel b'zeh." He says that one has the right to be mekel with this. So if you go all the way to the footnote on the page of, from inside Stam. So if you go to footnote number 113, so he says, Kol ma shekasafti kan ela tipa min yam hatalmud besugyazu. He says, what I wrote on these two pages is no more than a drop in the ocean of the Talmud with regards to this sugya, and I'm not obviously not going to write everything down and all the shittos on this, and it really needs a separate book to understand all of this, and if you're interested, right, you can look at all these Meir Makomos and you could figure it out. But he does quote here in the middle, but you know, and then he quotes though in footnote number 114, he says, see the Beir Olach where there's a machlokas about it. He says, Rav Yashiv suggested to be machmir. Okay, but he says that the Bedatz is mekel on this question, doesn't require lo magurad. But he points to a tshuva from the Shevet HaLevi, where the Shevet HaLevi says that part of the reason that I don't want to be machmir, and the Shevet HaLevi was Rav Vosner, or Shmuel Vosner, who was one of the major poskim in Stam. He passed away a few years ago, lived in Bnei Brak, has about 10-15 volumes on Shevet HaLevi, amongst other svarim. But certainly in the area of Stam, he's one of the major people that is quoted. So he says to you that this Lo Magurad thing, besides the fact that it's, it's a chumrah, but it's very hard for the Sofrim to write on it. So because it's very hard for the Sofrim to write on it, it's like a chumrah da'asi li de'kula. It becomes it's going to become worse because the Sofrim aren't going to be able to write well. So Rabbi Mendelowitz says that points out that nowadays they've worked it out so that it's not so hard to write on anymore, right? The same thing that we talked about, the Avodas Yad versus the machine-made klaf. That originally it was very hard to write on Avodas Yad, and now it's not so hard. So he said also here it's not so hard, so maybe it should be something that should be more considered. I don't know what's out there. I don't know if, you know, when they say Sifrei Torah are written in this way, I'm not sure how off, you know, when they say Sefer Torah written Mehudar and stuff, I don't know if it's included. In the back of this Sefer inside Stam, he actually has a graph of all the Chumras. has a chart of all the chumras for different articles of Stam, right? So for Ritzuos, Batim, Sifrei Torah, Mezuzah, Nevi'im, Megillas Esther, and the list is, what do you need for it to be Lechatchila, Mehudr, or Extra Mehudr? So this chumra of being Lo Megurad is on the list of Extra Mehudr. So it's up there. There are, you know, those who perhaps might desire it. And again, in my experience of selling it, selling Mezuzah and Tefillin, I have not come across it yet. Yeah. So, I mean, if anything, Sfardim would be thicker because the Rashba and the Ramban would require it to be thicker. They probably hold like the Ramban, probably the same as us. I would assume that they're, it just was thin cloth, I think. I would bet. I doubt that he's using the epidermis like this Rabbi Hoffman was suggesting, but possible. Could ask him. Yeah.
Heavier, or is that a very thin layer?
So it seems like it should be much heavier, but it could be they've worked out a process. You know, nowadays they've worked out a process that maybe it's not as heavy anymore. I don't know how available it is. Maybe for next week we'll try to find out how available this stuff is. Yeah. I guess to do one more halach here, Dalet, and then we'll end with this. So in Dalet, he says, "Katzav miksa." This is based on the Beis Yosef is really just quoting this from a Yerushalmi. Where he says, "Katzav miksasu al gvil miksasu al klaf puzzle." He says you can't have both together, right? You got to pick one or the other. So the Piskei Tshuva here. Quotes from the Chamudei Daniel. So a Sefer Chamudei Daniel we don't have in existence. However, he's quoted regularly in the Piskei Tshuva in Hilchos Sefer Torah and Mezuzah. There's a major chumra of the Chamudei Daniel and Mezuzah, which we'll get to. So the Chamudei Daniel, I don't think we have there is no Sefer Chamudei Daniel that has been was lost. However, I think I was at the Sfarim sale a couple years ago, and there was one. But I think it's only sections of the Chamudei Daniel that was found in other Sfarim and then collected and put together in a Sefer Chamudei. Anyways, so he says, "Niradafka miksasu al gvil miksasu al haklaf kolomar harbe miklaf a harbe migvil." He says this is a problem when it's a lot of klaf and a lot of gvil, meaning it's mixed together. In the Rabbi Lazarovsky, I've been told, has a Sefer Torah junkyard, so to speak, in his house, where he's collected various Sefrei Torah and might shift Urios from one to another, right? Might take panels from one and use it on others and is able to repair a Sefrei Torah that way. So he says, yeah, but you got to make sure it only klaf or gvil, either or. But he says to make a matlis or two, inkpeda, that we're not going to be makbid on. What is a matlis? So we'll get into this probably in more depth later on. Matlis is a patch. So if a cloth gets a hole in it, so you could patch it up by pretty much gluing on a piece of cloth or gvil, said perhaps, to the back of it. So this is still done bizman hazeh with the newer Sifrei Torah. It's not that are made out of the shilya, the unborn animals. So it's less likely that it would need. That it needs patches, but some of our Sefer Torah, I know it's today actually, Sefer Torah today, they were using for Parshas Vayeshev, had a matlis on it. Yes, don't look at me like that, Sheldon. I did Hagva, I saw it. okay, so patches, he says, okay. And then he says, "Velo yisartate be," I'm sorry, I'm the wrong thing here. He says, also, "imasa chetziav gavil v'chetziav tzvayim," he says, however, to make it partly from gvil and partly from tzvayim. It took me a while to figure out what tzvayim is. You know what tzvayim is?
Yep.
I believe it is chaya skin. Skin from a chaya. So he says to make some of it as skin from a behemoth, some of it as skin from a chaya, it would be okay. Meaning it's permissible to make stam out of kosher chayos. Now, there aren't too many kosher chayos that we know about. What are some kosher chayos? What? Deerskin or?
Giraffe,
yeah. So I think in Rabbi Slifkin's encyclopedia, or one of Rabbi Slifkin's books, I saw somebody holding up a mezuzah made out of giraffe cloth. It's very hard to shech giraffes. So as we learned in the previous in Sif Aleph, you don't have to shech them. As long, even if it's a nevela, it would be permissible. So I don't know where he was able to get this giraffe skin from, but he actually made a mezuzah out of giraffe skin. So that's totally mutter. The Shulchan Aruch says, however, to mix them together in one Sefer Torah, such that you have some behemah and some chaya, so that's not recommended. Okay, I got a ksuva to write. What?
Mezuzah sometimes culling giraffes, I heard.
Who? Yeah.
They have a male giraffe, an adolescent male giraffe. They can't keep it with the father and the mother because the father won't allow it to hack it, so they have to move it. Sometimes they have to kill them.
Ah, all right.
One source where you could get giraffe skin.
Okay. All right, good. Yashar Koach. So we'll pick up Mirtzei Hashem next week, I think. Next week is Chanukah, but yeah. Should be able to learn next week.
But he says it's kosher with the animal mixed with the
behemoth. He says it's kosher, but l'chachil it shouldn't be done. Now, there's a whole discussion about how to distinguish chayos and behemos. I mean, that's not, we don't necessarily have a straight mesorah as to what is chayos and what is what are behemos, but, you know, we could use our imagination a little bit.
Alright.
Okay. Well, what?
Notice is on the Steelers.
Thank you. We lost.
Oh! All right. Could party with the Dolphins.
Yeah, well, sweet buddy.
All right. Good night, everybody.